Membership fees apply after free trial. Cancel any time.
Okay, so why do people love my Total Body Bar workouts? Because they work. My clients get an amazing workout and great results. I'm Andrea Rogers, professional dancer and trainer, and my Extend Bar classes are fun, only 30 minutes, and proven to help you get sculpted, lean, and strong. And right now, you can stream my Extend Bar classes for free on the Beachbody On Demand app. See how effective these workouts truly are. Start for free today at Beachbody.com.
You positive heads out there. It's so good to be back with all you beautiful reflections of the one source consciousness that creates and animates all things. If you're new to this podcast, of course, we are super happy to have you here, and we just ask that you bring an open mind and heart to your listening experience and to be prepared to explore vantage points that I'm convinced will help shift or solidify your current understanding of the ultimate nature of reality. While listening, you'll be exposed to inspiring, empowering, and unifying perspectives that I'm highly confident will yield stellar results in your life if you opt to try them on for size. Also, at optimistic.tv, we have officially begun releasing the first few episodes of our new late-night style, consciousness-elevating video variety talk show, Optimistic, which features live visionary art, soul share interviews, retreat guests here at the Mystic Manor, as well as live musical performances. I'm also super excited to announce that we are currently making plans to release the rest of season one on my personal favorite online streaming service. So stay tuned to optimistic.tv to follow the unfolding development of this exciting Optimistic expansion, as we'll be posting more info and release dates there soon. And in the meantime, be sure to check out, of course, the first few episodes at optimistic.tv as well.
Hello, all you positive heads. On this week's P-Head Posse episode, our guest is positive head listener Julia Phoenix. Julia is a speaker and relationship coach who specializes in healing childhood trauma. Hi, Julia. Welcome to the show.
Hello, Alexa. Thank you so much for having me here. I'm so happy to be here.
Me too. I almost like can't believe you haven't been here before, because I feel like you're kind of dancing all around this world, and you know, everything that you share about and teach about and speak about is just so relevant to this community and the journey that I think we're all on. So I'm really happy that you could be here. And, you know, for those of you who are just tuning into one of these P-Head Posse episodes, I am Alexa, and these episodes used to be every Friday, but now they are just sometimes on Friday when we have one of you that, you know, it is going to be a really great addition to the podcast. And this segment is really about those of you who are doing really beautiful things that we would love to highlight. And so, Julia, again, thank you for being here. And, you know, we'll dive into everything that you're doing in a few minutes. But first, as always, we really just love to know with everyone who comes on this podcast what their journey has been like and what their story is, what led them to be doing what they're doing right now. Would you mind sharing a little bit of your story with us?
Yeah, not at all. I'd love to. In fact, I can talk about myself for probably hours at a time. Stop me if I get repetitive or long-winded, but yeah. You know, I do think that, just to kind of preface, a lot of people that I know who've gotten into the realm of spirituality and metaphysics do come from a lot of trauma. And it's part of how we've been able to hone our gifts and our capacities in the ways that many of us have, you know, our perceptions of things like energetics and the emotional climate, you know, in a room or within a person. A lot of that will stem from early childhood experiences that are not so positive. And I love sharing my story because I really feel passionately about letting people know that they can use those experiences as they move forward to propel them into whatever it is that they want to create and whatever it is they're here to heal on planet Earth. And for me, I focus on relationships primarily, but that's because my early relationships were really so devastating, including my relationship with myself. I grew up in Palo Alto, California, which is right in the heart of Silicon Valley. So, you know, all those tech companies, Facebook, Google, Apple, you know, really heady kind of an environment, really quick-paced, kind of frenetic. And, you know, unfortunately, like, there's a lot of positive aspects of living there. But unfortunately, one of the sort of negative aspects is that there's a lot of isolation, I notice. And it's not necessarily physical isolation. In fact, it's quite populated. It's more so a feeling of emotional isolation and sort of everybody in their little bubbles, right? Worrying about their, you know, to-do lists and their, you know, their work and their ideas and their one track sort of in life, really, really kind of singular focus on self. And it's not that that's bad or wrong, but there was just not a lot of connection or intimacy or emotional expression in my early environment. And I think that that's really common for a lot of people. But another thing that was a little bit interesting about my upbringing is that I did grow up in a spiritual cult. So it's always interesting for me to be talking to a real spiritual group of people because I grew up around New Agers, right? Like my parents listened to Abraham Hicks and, you know, it was such a part of my life to have incense in the house and to meditate since I was 4 years old, you know? But unfortunately, there was this really kind of seedy underbelly of this spiritual organization that my parents were a part of. And that's really not uncommon, unfortunately, for some of these teachers and gurus who really teach from a much higher perspective, like we could call it 11th dimensional consciousness, you know, that's very oneness oriented, non-dualistic sort of teachings. There's a lot of denial of the physical, you know, the body, the emotions, definitely human relationships, and certainly sexuality. And so what it looks like when we cut off from those aspects of our humanity is a lot of really dysfunctional stuff that can happen. So there was a lot of abuse within that organization, within the cult. There was a lot of suppression of information, you know, surveillance that wasn't authorized, you know, of people, things like that. And, you know, the same could be said of my childhood home in terms of the fact that my parents, while they meditated every day, actually, they were profoundly abusive, just deeply abusive people, you know? So some people will look at that and say, that's not possible, and think that, like, just because someone meditates, they wouldn't be capable of doing some of those things. And it's just absolutely not true. My father was a pedophile. You know, my mother was, pretty emotionally unstable, lived through a lot of trauma herself. So I did have an intense amount of sexual abuse from age two on, really. And, you know, a lot of what made it so rough outside of the incidents themselves was just the sense of not being able to talk about it, you know? And it was the same thing with the cult. It was like, we don't say those things, you know? So I sort of grew up feeling like I didn't have a voice. I grew up doubting my reality, which is also true for a lot of people. Even if you didn't have trauma that was, you know, expressed in that particular type of way, oftentimes there's this, you know, emotional suppression and also this kind of gaslighting around what happened. Mm-hmm. And this lack of openness around the kinds of things that we're perceiving and experiencing. And so really doubting myself and my reality, not understanding really what was true and blaming myself a lot, having no resources or support. And so I developed some pretty severe addictions, things like cutting, bulimia, anorexia, and eventually heroin addiction. And I got clean and sober when I was 23. And that kind of started my healing path. You know, I went to rehab, and I think that was the first time I really committed to life. I think I decided that maybe there was something more for me, and that the next decade or so, I really spent diving into those wounds and kind of this excruciating process of having to feel everything again and having to discover who I was, you know. And then it also became a beautiful process of recovering lost pieces of myself and learning how to give those little girls inside of myself the love that they didn't have and the safety that they never had. And then eventually, when I was ready, the connection that they never had with other people. And that's been a huge, huge part of my healing path, as well as learning how to connect to other human beings, learning intimacy and vulnerability, learning how to accept support, and really allowing myself to be held by others as I continue to heal. And so that just woke up this immense passion in me to help others to learn how to do that. And specifically people in kind of the spiritual community, to learn how to walk in full awareness of those higher dimensional elements of life, as well as full embodiment and awareness of, you know, every emotion on the spectrum, awareness and acceptance of our needs, and to live with other human beings in relationship in a way that's supportive and harmonious. So that's what I do now.
Wow.
Help people with that.
Thank you so much for sharing your story. It's crazy because I've heard your story several times. I've heard you, you know, I've been in many different situations with you and on podcasts with you and all kinds of, and I've heard your stories so many times, but every time you tell it, I feel like I hear something new, or I just like have a new kind of level of respect of like, wow, you know, like it's, you're a beautiful example of someone who really dug into like their darkness, it feels like, and it sounds like, and was brave enough to like go there. And now how I perceive you is just like literally like an angel. Like every time I see you, I feel just like angel energy and just lightness and beauty. And so it's really amazing that, you know, that you're able to share your story and that you're doing what you're doing, because, you know, I don't know if a lot of people in that situation like would have the trajectory that you had. And so, I also was listening to you thinking of, wow, you know, I bet there's a lot of people listening who are identifying with one part of this story or multiple parts of this story who've also experienced this. And maybe they feel like they're alone, and maybe they feel like no one can really understand or no one else has been through it, you know? I know that like took us kind of to now. So like, who specifically are you, do you feel most passionate about working with? What types of people?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, I think that I have a huge heart for just women who have experienced similar things or have this kind of experience of a loss of their sense of self and their truth, and who maybe because of their experiences or beliefs that they've sort of swallowed about themselves, kind of deep down, maybe feel like there's something wrong with them. They're a little bit broken. They're a little bit damaged. They're kind of like not that angelic meditating figure on a lotus. They can't seem to really get themselves there, you know, and maybe have experienced a lot of toxic abuse patterns or relationship patterns that were really unfulfilling. And to be able to mirror back to those women what you just mirrored to me, you know, to be able to really mirror back a woman's strength and her capacity to see reality accurately. So I love working with women who have had a lot of gaslighting trauma. So really being made to believe that what they were perceiving wasn't correct and struggling with a lot of self-doubt and that sort of thing. To be able to get them to trust themselves, to help them to step into that is so, so deeply satisfying. And then to learn how to receive support. So women who have a tough time doing that for whatever reason, you know, and believe that they're supposed to be stronger than they feel, mm-hmm. you know, yeah. to help them see their strength in their vulnerability and to help them connect with the resources that they need to empower them to receive the support that that they always deserved. So I love working with women like that. Mm.
Huge.
I work with couples as well. I mean, I love working yeah. with couples as well. It's really fun for me to see and feel and sense into kind of like the different perspectives, the different wounds that are there, that like, it's sometimes just a completely different world that you can kind of perceive people are living in. Yeah. It's like one person is talking about the same issue and like has a completely different perspective than the other to harmonize those different perspectives and to come to a place of understanding and get on the same page. That is just like a really joyful, it's kind of an art form. Couples work especially is like, yeah. it's a challenge, but I love it, you know, and it's so beautiful when I can see that coming together in a new way in couples.
I think that's so beautiful because oftentimes I feel like, you know, couples, I can't remember who, somebody else was said this, maybe it was even you in the past, but oftentimes I actually feel like couples, business partners, even friends sometimes, it's like they're actually saying the same thing sometimes mm-hmm. or they want the same thing, but their style of communication is so different and also their childhood yeah. wounding is very specific. So their defense mechanisms, the way that they communicate, as we just said, like it all just can kind of come together to create this big misunderstanding when in actuality there's some at the heart, at the core, there's a lot of love there. And so yeah. it's a beautiful thing, I think, to be able to come in and be that translator and help everyone understand why each person is acting the way they are and why yeah. and what everybody is really saying at the core.
Yeah, absolutely.
And real quick, I just think that really relates to what's going on right now just in the world is like there's so many people who are so angry and who are they're hurting and they're processing and they're growing and all of this. But, you know, it's like oftentimes I feel like especially with politics, it's like I feel like we're all kind of saying the same thing, but we're made to believe that we're not saying the same thing, or we're made to believe that we like need to be pitted against each other. And because of the words we're using and because of the, yeah, like just kind of the parties you align with, it's like, I just feel like that's really, it's coming up quite a bit in the collective right now of.
Yes, ma'am, it is.
Needing to be understood, right?
Yeah. And just a lot of conflict through that. And what a lot of people don't understand, I think, about conflict in general is that the other person almost always on some level is feeling the same exact way that you are. Mm-hmm. And you're made to feel the way that they feel. And so it's really just we're mirroring each other constantly, you know, and we're processing things in a different way, like you're saying, and we're expressing ourselves in a different way because we have these different roles we play and we have these different patterns that we run. But at the end of the day, we're all feeling similarly. So if we were to really strip a lot of it down, I think what we would find is our humanity and what connects us, you know, which is always what I'm looking for. But usually it's what we're rejecting about the other that we're suppressing in ourselves. It's just this climate of kind of really intense polarization and separation. And it's not that that's bad or wrong, because we do live in a world in a 3D construct where we're individuated consciousnesses having our own experiences with our own perspectives. But there's a lot more common ground, I think, than people realize. And certainly these conversations can be much, much more productive when people are able to make it about what it's actually about and meet each other's emotional needs for being, you know, seen and heard and felt and understood and validated in their experience, you know, because that's what all the desperation is about. That's what all the anger and the yelling and the, you know, posts on social media that are just like brutal, man. It's about see my pain.
Yeah.
See my reality, see my world. You know, you have to hear me. And so what other people are responding to that with, unfortunately, because they have the same wounds, are no, see me, see my pain, see my reality, right?
Yeah.
And that's just what it looks like. When in fact, like, there's space for us to all be feeling and seeing and understanding one another, if we can slow down enough to do that and commit to doing that. And if we learn just like sometimes it's really basic, just communication skills as well, and just emotional attunement, ways to help people to, you know, have those emotional needs met so that we can de-escalate a little bit. Like, I think that that's what really needs to happen right now. Like, we just all need to kind of, you know, just kind of, it's not that the conflict needs to stop, because conflict's not bad. You know, mm-hmm. Conflict is actually really positive. Conflict leads to deeper intimacy. That, you know, and that's how this whole thing was designed, with human beings that have these separate perspectives and feelings and thoughts and needs and wishes and everything. It's designed to bring us into our own expansion, to help us grow and find new solutions that we didn't know were there. And it's designed to help us grow into greater intimacy, you know, because we're reacting to things that aren't okay. You know, and they do need to be looked at and they do need to be talked about. So it's not the conflict that's the problem. It's the escalation of the conflict due to lack of capacity to successfully communicate with one another.
Mm. Right? And how do people start the process of better communication? Like, what are the elements of, you know, more productive communication with one another?
Yeah, that's a really, really good question. I think that the first thing to do is something that probably all of your listeners are doing regularly anyway, which is to practice self-empathy and, you know, self-reflection and self-understanding. So, and really watch our projections, you know, mm-hmm. really watch our assumptions that we're making, you know, mm-hmm. it's like, well, she's saying this and my mom used to say that, or like this person used to say that. And so like, she's a bitch, you know, it's that yes. kind of, it will go there like that. I mean, you know, and it's in our bodies. Sometimes it's like a fight or flight reaction that we go into. We see and experience things in the very same way that we did maybe in past circumstances that were really unsafe for us. So we've got to kind of recognize that and have a little bit of compassion and self-understanding that that's what's happening and that's what's coming up, but pausing before you react and really getting clear. What am I feeling? Why am I feeling it? And validating ourselves first. It makes perfect sense that you would feel anger about that. You know, that's a boundary for you, or like, that's a value for you. This is really touching on. And from that place, it's a lot easier, to access empathy for someone else and to really start to open to receive their perspective, you know. And that's, of course, the next step is like, once you get clear on what you're feeling, why you're feeling it, and most importantly, what it is you're needing from the other party, especially, you can open space and ask those questions of them, you know. Sometimes simple tweaks in our communication, like, I know it's kind of a goofy cliche to talk about I statements, but, you know, I reference Marshall Rosenberg's work a lot. He's the creator of nonviolent communication, which is a really, really powerful and effective communication method. That's like 50% of it, really. It's just, you know, cutting out the word you, and certainly things like name calling, but it's those assumptions, you know, instead of asking, like, I'm curious what your intention was for saying something like that. Mm. You know, we might say something instead like, you're just trying to make me feel stupid, which is A, an assumption, and B, is going to put someone on the defense, and it's going to escalate a conflict. If we ask questions and if we say, I'm perceiving blah, 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 you know, Mm-hmm. I'm feeling hurt because I'm perceiving that an aspect of you may be trying to place me in a position where I feel stupid. Is that correct? You know, it's a really different orientation, like questioning the fact that you know exactly what's going on. Right. You know?
Before we continue on with today's episode, I'd like to take a quick moment to tell you about our sponsor, KiwiCo. We all know this school year will be unlike any other, whether your kids are going back to school or logging into a classroom from home. And as parents, it can be really time consuming to give your kids the extra help they might need this school year. Well, this company, KiwiCo, can deliver a science fair / art class right to your door, and they have an incredible amount of highly creative do-it-yourself projects for all age ranges. As a huge music fan since about 12 years old, I personally would have loved building the real working light-up speaker and headphones when I was just starting to jam out. As a parent now of a grown-up kid, I wish I had had something like KiwiCo when my son was small, because I remember how hard it can be to find creative and new things to keep him busy and challenged on his own or to tackle together. And not only do they have different crates for kids of all ages, but they send one every month. Now, of course, there's no commitment and you can pause or cancel anytime you like. KiwiCo truly is redefining play with hands-on projects that build confidence, creativity, and critical thinking skills. They have something for every kid or kid at heart. And the best part is all UP heads can get your first month free on select crates at kiwico.com/positivehead. That's kiwico.com/positivehead.
Yeah, it also just occurred to me. It's like it's a really beautiful. I think it's such a beautiful way to communicate as well, because you're actually like giving that other person, you're giving them information instead of actually, and you're taking responsibility too, like saying like, this is what's going on with me, and just so you understand what's happening in here, versus putting the responsibility on them, which is what I feel like is happening when you said you're doing this, right? Which, like you said, is always going to cause a fight because they're always going to want to push back to that. Who likes stealing that one?
What happens is it usually will trigger shame, and it's usually real subconscious. Like, it's not like we go right into shame, but it's a feeling of like, you're attacking my goodness as a person, and the ego can't be not good. So you are actually the asshole right now. Yeah. And then you just start, you know, tossing your shame back and forth, and it flips to anger like that. That shame turns to anger in a conflict. So you want to avoid any statements that are going to cause someone to feel, you know, really undue amounts of shame for how they're behaving, you know, or what they're thinking and feeling. I should back up though too, and I realized I didn't even this is a precursor to all of it, is just being able to stay with your emotions, to tolerate emotional discomfort, and to identify what emotions you're actually feeling, to be able to be with yourself and your emotions in a different way, because what happens is we just react. And sometimes we're trying to get out of what the true vulnerability is. You know, just like I was just mentioning with shame, we'll go to anger. You know, we might go all kinds of places in order to avoid just staying with the feelings that we're experiencing inside of our bodies. So that's probably my number one practice, really, for anyone, for any relationship, you know, is really making friends with all of your emotions and getting better at holding presence fully with those emotions.
Yeah, it's huge, because absolutely, like, I'm an EFT practitioner, as some of you know, and that's really what you're doing when you're doing any sort of practice like EFT or anything similar, is like you're really just like finding a way to love and accept yourself where you are with whatever emotion that you have. And that's really difficult for humans, because when we don't feel good, we don't like to not feel good. We just want to feel better. We often, we'll numb or distract or push away or punish ourselves for feeling bad, right? Yeah. Instead of instead of giving ourselves empathy and love for, you know, wherever we're at. And so I do think That is a really, why is that so challenging for humans to do?
Oh God, there's so many different things I could say about that, but really, a lot of it is socialization. I mean, part of it is our inherent resistance to pain, but it's really what we make the pain mean. It's really how our minds are conditioned to respond to pain, in terms of like there being something really wrong and it not being okay to be in pain. And the biggest message that we receive about our emotional pain when we're younger, especially, is you're actually not, nobody's going to want to be with you if you're in pain. So at its core, it's like a fear of isolation a lot of the time. Because it's like, you know, when we're feeling upset, what does everybody try to do? They try to get us to feel better. It's a rejection of that aspect of us and that aspect of our experience, even if people are well-meaning, even if they're, you know, it's like, I always will use this example of like, you know, I used to teach preschool many years ago, and the toddler falls down and skins his knee, even something as seemingly benign as like picking up that kid and being like, oh, you know, you're fine. You're okay. Like, go play. You know, I used to have parents come into the school and they would tell their kids like, you know, laugh it off, shake it off. Like, you're fine, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, no, they're not fine. What you're doing right now is you're creating a pattern in which this human being, every time she feels pain now, is going to separate from that pain and say, this part of me is not okay. Mm. This part of me is not, this is not what I'm supposed to be right now. It's not okay to be this way. And socially, there's an issue with that. We also don't give children what they really need in order to learn how to feel through and process through emotions in their bodies. And we don't freaking understand the function of emotion or why it's even important to do that. I mean, I don't know about you, but I was basically taught, even explicitly at some points in my life, that emotion was just kind of like this erroneous, annoying thing that happened.
Yep.
To you, right? It's like, and what do we feel like? The universe just like made a mistake by giving us emotions. Like, yeah. You know, it's like, oh, like that's annoying. You feel sad. You got to find a way to like deal with that. You know, it's like,
totally.
Instead of really understanding that emotions are tethered to our truth. They are always giving us a very important, very real message about something that needs our attention. And it's our job to figure out what that is. It's something that we need. It's a boundary that hasn't been honored. You know, it's something that it's telling us we don't want anymore and what we do want, right? Yep. But if we consistently, you know, sort of separate children from their emotional reactions in that way, and we learn to do that, it's like we're running around blind in some ways, you know, we just don't know what the frack we're doing. Yeah. So really it starts with, I think it starts in childhood, Alexa. You know, I have this whole childhood thing that I do, because I really see it. You know, I worked with children for a number of years, and I have degrees in that topic. And I see what children really need in those moments is the same thing that we need as adults, and what we can give ourselves and our inner children in those moments when we feel unsafe, or we feel sad, or we feel rage, or whatever, which is, it's like, I'm here with you in this.
Yeah.
I'm here. It's okay to feel this way. I'm staying with you.
Yeah.
Really neat. It's the abandonment that creates that pattern, you know?
Oh yeah. I mean, everything you're saying is resonating with me so much, because when I was younger, I had such big emotions. I had no understanding of how to regulate them. I totally felt punished and isolated for having them.
Right.
My parents were amazing parents. Don't get me wrong, mom and dad, if you ever listen to this, but, but you know, they very similarly, like, they wanted me to behave in public.
Yeah.
And if I had a meltdown at a department store, that was not okay. If I often, actually, what's really funny is like my biggest struggle, I remember being that, like, I didn't know what to do with my time. So they'd be like, okay, we're finally home on the weekend. So what do you want to do? And I'd be like, I don't know. And they'd be like, well, do you want to go to the movies? And I'd be like, I don't know. And they'd be like, well, do you want to do, and they'd be very lovely and offering me all these very lovely things. But suddenly I just felt like, I don't know what I want to do. And I was overwhelmed. I would start to shut down. And by the end of it, they'd throw up their hands and be like, you know what, Alexa, like, we don't know what to do with you because you don't want to do anything. And I just remember feeling so like tortured and like stuck and ashamed that I couldn't figure out what was, why I couldn't make a decision. And I would have a meltdown. And anyway, there's just all these images floating in my mind of just being a child. And I think my parents always wanting to just make me happy. And because they only had a limited amount of time with me, they were very, they worked a lot. And when I think now, you know, I'm having the opportunity of doing what you're talking about, which is I get to go back and do these processes where I get to go to my younger self, even in those emotions I didn't understand then, and just be with her and let her cry or let her be unhappy. And you know, I've been thinking about this, about how cool is it that when I have kids, which I'm planning to do soon, but when I have kids, like, not that I'm going to be perfect at all, we're always learning, but that I'm going to know from my experience as a child what actually needed to happen in terms of emotions, whether they make sense or not. It doesn't need to make sense, just like you said, to be there, to accept them, to acknowledge them. And I think it's really cool that this generation, everyone listening to this podcast, we're all going to be perpetuating this new idea of emotions and this new idea of, parenting or raising children or, love, connection.
1,000%. And that's why I do this work now, as opposed to when I was working in early childhood education, you know, because kids aren't the problem. The kids are fine. It's that we've been, you know, it's that we've been, we've had these experiences and we've been programmed in these ways, and we're carrying these often deeply held ancestral patterns and collective patterns and beliefs and experiences, that are driving us, you know? And so, and I don't know if you've noticed, but the kids coming in lately, you know, to planet Earth are like pretty intensely bright. I mean, are like the rainbow kids, the crystal kids. I mean, they're highly sensitive, like incredible beings, and they are needing parents and teachers and adults in their world who can meet them on that level. And it's so beautiful and gratifying to see people like you, Alexa, and I'm sure like some of your listeners also, and the people that I work with, being able to break that cycle. You know, often we don't understand what a child needs. We just do what was done with us, and we just kind of do what feels instinctually right, you know? And it's not that, you know, parents are, I'm not trying to bash parents, just like you said, like, you know, sorry, mom and dad, because I'm sure
they did their best.
Absolutely. Love you. Yeah. And exactly. But it's just about a deeper layer of, because the other thing is that children will, also mirror back to you whatever you've disowned or suppressed or denied or rejected within yourself. Right. So, you know, if you're someone who coped by being like a really strong personality, hard, and so it's highly likely you're going to have a child that's like the softest, you know, most like, you know, most sensitive, right? And so, and it's because this is your opportunity to reown that. And so there's so much I could say about that, but I don't want to drone on and on about parenting.
I think it's beautiful, like, because in this conversation we're covering all the bases of all the different kind of types of relationships that you have: relationships with yourself, relationships with your partner, relationships with your children. And relationships are here to, like you said, be mirrors. You know, that's how we learn about ourselves. I remember thinking, like, I spent a lot of my actual life kind of isolating myself from relationships because I was sensitive and, you know, I thought it was safer to kind of like be on my own. But, you know, now being in this stretch of my life, I look back and I go, man, like, what was going on during that time period? Not to say, you know, I wasn't learning things, but I absolutely was not learning at the rate that I learn when I'm in relationship. And so I think it's really important, and would love if, you know, you could just touch on a little bit this time that we're in, this COVID time, where it's almost like it's so ironic and interesting. It's like we need each other more than ever. But now it's also like we have to have distance and space more than ever. Yeah. Like, how do you interpret that? And any suggestions you have for people to deal with this time?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's really, it's coming to a point where we can't ignore any longer our issues around human connection. And that's really what it feels like to me. I mean, there's so many different angles at which you can, and lenses through which you can look at this COVID situation. So this is just one angle and one lens, but I do see that our collective sense of isolation has in some ways brought us to this point, because, you know, isolation is actually one of the most devastatingly painful and damaging experiences a human being can go through. That's why we actually torture people with isolation chambers, you know. Yeah. And yet our society has become so acclimatized to it. It is normalized to live alone, to, you know, have food delivered and not even have to talk to anyone, or to, you know, go to the self-checkout instead of talking to the grocery person. And it's like, you can live a whole life and not leave your room, you know, and that's normalized. And it's not normal, not for the human species. Human species is a tribal species. It's a pack species, like a wolf or a deer. We need to be living in community with one another. That's how we'd survive. And I think, you know, our survival shit is getting triggered right now, right? Mm-hmm. And I think we're recognizing that need on multiple levels. Like, sure, on an emotional level, yes. Also on a very real physical survival type of a level. I mean, it's like sometimes if people are going into the worst case scenarios in their head, maybe this is happening subconsciously. What we're really feeling in our biology even is that, like, if the shit really hit the fan, am I going to survive out there in the woods on my own? Right. Like, no, we need each other. We need like an infrastructure of people who have various resources and strengths, you know, who are coming together to survive. So we've evolved in such a way that we've lost touch with our innate needs for that. And it's to a profoundly devastating ends, you know, because things like addiction, things like, you know, just the incredible amounts of depression and anxiety and things like that, that people face. I mean, I think people would be shocked if they actually realized how much of that has to do with just basic connection needs not being met. It's ridiculous, you know? So this is really a call that a lot of us have been asking for without realizing it in our own internal beings. Look at this, look at it, look at this loneliness that you feel internally. Look at the way your life is structured, you know? Look at how painful it feels to be sitting 6 feet away from someone, and literally it's not even allowed legally to touch them right now, you know? Like, that is a big deal. So we're having to confront these wounds, and we're getting clearer and clearer about what we actually want and desire and need. And so that's how I would really encourage people to use this time, is to reflect on that and use your findings, you know, to inform, like, what do you want to create? And really, what do you want to create for yourself in terms of what kinds of relationships, what fulfills you, like what types of connections make you feel, make your nervous system feel regulated and stable, make you feel stimulated and happy, make you feel safe and supported? What does that look like? You know, what types of people are compatible with you and are a match to you? And how can we go about magnetizing those situations towards us? You know, because we have to.
Yeah.
It's just not time to fuck around with that anymore, you know?
Yeah. Totally. Totally. Yeah. And I love what you're saying about, like, all of these things, like addictions and all of that, really just being like a call for more connection, because that's been made clear to me now more than ever. Like, it's interesting. It's like, whether it's food or a substance or something like that, I've definitely dealt with all, you know, different types of eating disorders in my life. I know you mentioned that as well. And I've been thinking about it recently, and I've, like, it's been becoming so clear. It's like, you know what? It makes a lot of sense, because when I was little, I remember feeling like I can't control. I don't feel like people are safe. Yes. But I want connection. Well, what type of connection can I control? Like food yes. or a substance or porn exactly. or whatever it is. That you can control. You can be like, okay, I decide when I have this. I decide this food can't get up and walk away from me, technically.
Yes. It's not you. It's yeah. not gonna abandon you. It's not gonna hurt you. It's always there. It's always yeah. gonna make you feel good, and you can control it. You hit the nail on the head.
Yeah. But after mm-hmm. a while, that just starts to feel so empty. And I feel yeah. like more than ever now, it's like as the veil is thinning in all the other ways, it's also thinning in all this programming we have of like, no, just eat the food. The food's good. Or just be on your phone. The phone's good. I actually just saw this movie that was all about, it was a really funny movie with Adam Devine, but it was all kind of making fun of the way we like, we're like, oh, my relationship with my phone is everything. And it's totally fine. Meanwhile, we're missing out on every aspect of life and really sad. And so, yes. so I think it's a really powerful time. And you know, what would you recommend for people who are having this realization, like who are like, man, I really need to connect, but like how, you know, especially yeah. now.
Yeah. Yeah. I totally get that. And that can be really super challenging. I would say the first step though, like you were saying, Alexa, around those fears that you identified within yourself. I think that there is a call to confront the resistances towards connection. Mm-hmm. Because there are, you know, if the whole world is a universe or is a mirror, you know, this is like a universal mirror that we're in, as a construct, like, you know, there's something within us that is keeping people away, you know, mm-hmm. keeping people at arm's length or 6 feet away or whatever, because it's safer. So it's like, why is that safer? What is it that you're actually afraid of? What are these parts of you doing? What funny little dances are they doing to try to stay safe in relationship? Because these dysfunctional patterns, even if, I mean, cause I could just say like, well, go on meetup.com and like go out and like, you know, like that's great. And like, there are tools for that. There are dating apps that I met my partner through a dating app. Like don't knock it. You know what I mean? I think there are so many different resources for finding connection, meeting people online, you know, your community, like even Facebook communities and just, hey, do you want to do a video call? Do you want to meet up? There are so many ways that we can initiate connection like that. But if we are not a vibrational match for connection because we are actually pushing it away, mm-hmm. because subconsciously there are aspects of us that are going, oh, fuck no, mm-hmm. like yeah. it's not going to happen. Or we're going to magnetize people towards us that don't want that. Or they want, you know, or they will hurt us in those ways. And then we'll like pull away even more and say, see, people aren't safe. So it's really about confronting like, what we are really afraid of. And that takes a lot of bravery. And I do recommend getting support for that, you know, because yeah, I mean, even having someone like a therapist or a mentor or a coach or someone who can sit with you in those emotions, like it's a different layer of healing because this person is staying and they're not leaving and you are being emotionally vulnerable, you know, you can actually start to re-script and have some different experiences in those types of contexts. You can give your body a different experience so that your nervous system doesn't react in quite the same way. My first is like, really confront why you're keeping people away to begin with and what is so unsafe with you about connection. And then I would ask the question, what will help you feel safer in connection? Because our emotions, you know, like we were saying, those painful places, those scary places that we're afraid to go, they actually hold the key for everything we want and need and how to move forward and who we are, right? So it's like, if we're feeling unsafe, because just to use the example, you know, like food can't walk up, like get up and walk away from me. What it sounds like probably what that would tell you that you need, like, is that, first of all, like you're probably terrified of abandonment, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And what that would tell you that you need is a certain level of reassurance, or like, what is it? Can we experiment with what is it that helps me feel like I am securely attached to this person and know that they're not going anywhere? Because it's not wrong to have that need. Like, and this is a huge issue that I have in the spiritual community, is that there is this idea that circulates that it's bad to have like attachments to people and you should just be okay with people just, yeah. you know, leaving your life. Like the fuck you should.
Yeah.
Your whole system is going to react to that. That is separation. That is painful. And it's okay to want someone who stays.
Yeah.
You know, but what does that look like? How do we see who that is? What type of do we want? Just anyone that just stays, you know, it takes some really, some unpacking, but getting clearer around what helps you to feel safer moving forward and the types of people who are really compatible to you, meaning they'll meet your needs and they won't trigger those childhood wounds. Like for you, Alexa, having friendships or like a partner who their primary need is like a lot of space because they had really severe enmeshment stuff in childhood and had to like take care of people when it was inappropriate for them to do so. That probably isn't going to be a group of people that's going to be really compatible with you.
Right.
Right. But you're not going to find that out if you're just like, well, I should just be okay with everything, you know, like, I don't know, like they're cool people. And so like, we'll just, So it's really this process of clarifying and then clarifying your vibration relative to those things. And then taking those actions, those simple actions, like, you know, getting on the Positive Heads group or on my Facebook group, posting and saying like, hey, who wants to have a video call? Like, I'm living in this place in the planet. Where are you? Can we, you know, have a coffee or whatever? Yeah. The internal stuff really needs to happen first.
Yeah. Wow. Thank you for that. And, you know, you mentioned like support is really essential or really helpful, especially if you are someone who's dealing with, you know, wounds or inner child stuff or fear about intimacy or connection. And, you know, I know you're an amazing coach and you do some amazing work. You work with many people that I know, and I've just seen them all blossom. Mm-hmm. It's been so beautiful. So would love if you would share with the listeners how they can work with you, how they can connect with you. If they would like some support.
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate that, Alexa. So you can find me on Facebook as Julia Phoenix. You can go to www.juliaphoenix11. 11 is spelled out like the word, not like the double one. JuliaPhoenix11.com. Or you can email questions.julia@gmail.com. And I do have space right now for some group coaching as well as individual coaching, which probably won't be for too terribly long. So I'd love to hear from you. I also have a number of courses and things like this if people are really wanting to start to dive in and develop a relationship with their inner child and move forward in relationship in a new way.
Beautiful. Thank you so much. We will put all that information in the show notes as well. So if you're listening to that, just look for the show. If you're listening to this, just look for the show notes and definitely reach out to Julia. She is awesome and just so helpful and just a beautiful heart, as you can hear. And Julia, thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing with us. This is such a beautiful and I feel like needed conversation for this time period.
Yeah, I notice a part of me coming up right now that's like, well, that was a little heavy. Like I didn't mean to be, you know, to have people feeling discouraged about it, because I guess, you know, just before we wrap up, I just want to say like, this is a time of incredible opportunity. And there are people out there even now, even more so than ever, that are wanting that connection that you want, and that support is available to you. And you deserve to have it. It is your birthright to have it. We are all in this together, you know?
Yeah.
So go forward in faith.
Yeah. I didn't think it was that heavy. I thought it was
okay.
Great.
Okay. But maybe I'm just being self-conscious. Yeah. Then.
No, I think right now is, like, maybe there is more heaviness in tone in general, but it also feels like more, like there's more weight to things in a good way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like we said, like people are taking things more seriously and they're looking with clearer eyes. And so it's okay. I think that there's maybe a little more heaviness in tone because it's important. And this is part of what I think really needs to happen in order for us to move forward in the way that we want to live our lives normally. So thank you so much again for coming.
Thank you, Alexa. Thank you all for listening.
Yeah. Thank you all so much for tuning in as always. And enjoy the rest of the normal episodes or the typical episodes, and the P-Head Posse will be back before you know it. If you are actually a listener who has a story or something beautiful that you want to share, feel free to reach out to me at alexa@positivehead.com. We're always looking for more of you beautiful P-Heads to come on here and share your story. So we love you, and until next time, see you later. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Also, before we sign off, I wanted to remind you about the Game with the Universe on our website. You can choose the first number that comes to your mind, and it'll pull up that episode number of the podcast. I've been saying this is a great way to co-create synchronicity and magic with your higher self for quite some time. And if you go to positivehead.com/universe, there is a super fun and simple interface to play this game with your higher self. I firmly believe just by setting the intention to play in this way, it opens up the door for magic, and it's a synchronistic way to hone in on nuggets of wisdom out of the huge catalog of episodes that are specifically appropriate for you at this time in your journey to becoming the next greatest and greatest version of yourself. And it also makes for a super fun way to spark the curiosity of friends and family by having them choose a number. So they'll hopefully go and check out their number as well, which I greatly appreciate because it helps us to spread the word about the podcast. Once again, the address is positivehead.com/universe. And as a quick reminder, if you're curious to learn more about Purium Superfoods and why I take them almost every day, be sure to also check out positivehead.com/transformation. On this journey of becoming the next greatest and grandest version of ourselves that we have all embarked upon, I cannot stress the importance of managing your physical vibration enough. And quite honestly, Purium has put together the simplest plan I've found to do so. I have my favorite, the Appleberry Shake, at least 5 times a week. Once again, to learn more about the Purium Transformation, go to positivehead.com/transformation. Or if you want to keep it simple and just try out my favorite, the Appleberry Shake, you can go straight over to ishoppurium.com and be sure to use code POSITIVEHEAD for 25% off. I'll spell that for you. It's ishoppurium.com. And be sure to use your Positive Head 25% coupon code.